Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome into episode 20 of Winnipeg Jets Weekly. I'm your host, Connor Rapchak. The Winnipeg Jets went 1-2 over the past week and made a few major additions on NHL trade deadline day. I'm going to break down the games. I'm going to break down the trades. Let's get into that first game, a 4-3 loss to the Seattle Kraken. There was a lot to like from Winnipeg's game in this one. Yeah, they don't come away with the win, but if you're looking on YouTube here behind me, the expected goals 3.05 to 1.54 in Winnipeg's favor. The shot attempts 70 to 45 in Winnipeg's favor. Even just the shots 33 to 24, but the Jets ultimately lose. Connor Hellebuyck, a few goals he might have liked to have back. But as for the good from this game, Mark Scheifele got an assist on Winnipeg's opening goal scored by Kyle Connor. That was his 700th career NHL point, an incredible milestone for a player who's been a career Jet, committed long-term to this organization in the summer, and the arena gave him a standing ovation when they honored him during the game after he hit his 700th point. A very nice moment inside the arena, a great milestone for Mark Scheifele, and as Adam Lowry said after the game, we're already creeping up on 1,000 points for Mark Scheifele, all of which will come in a Winnipeg Jets jersey. He was the organization's first ever draft pick when they came back in 2011. He committed to this team for the next 7 years in the summer. That extension doesn't even kick until next year, but a nice moment inside the arena as Scheifele hit 700 points. A great career so far for Mark Scheifele. The third line also played one of their best games of the season. Nino Niederreiter scored a goal, Adam Lowry scored a goal, and Mason Appleton had assists on both of those, and they controlled play, shutting down Seattle's top lines in the process. If the third line is able to chip in some goals here and there, that could be huge for Winnipeg's success going forward. They've been a great shutdown line all season, but when they're on a scoring heater, this team's dynamic is different, and they carried it into Friday when the Jets defeated the Kraken 3-0. That brings us to the second game of the home and home, and the Winnipeg Jets went into Seattle and defeated the Kraken 3-0. Lauren Brossoit with a 17-save shutout. And the 17 shots against, I think that says all that needs to be said about this game. The Jets' defensive structure, it was there on Tuesday against Seattle. Connor Hellebuyck let in a few soft goals, but on this night, Lauren Brossoit shut the door, and the Jets gave up only 1.74 expected goals, 54 shot attempts, and only 17 reached Brossoit. That means the Jets were blocking a lot of shots, they were in a lot of shooting lanes, forcing a lot of missed nets, and that was great on the defensive side of things. And then the offense came alive in the third period, Josh Morrissey making a great play on the left wall, getting the puck to Mark Scheifele, who scored the Jets' first goal of the game and ended up being the game winner. It was the first goal of the game halfway through the third period, 9 p.m. local start here in Winnipeg. Maybe we had lost a few people there before this game ended, but Mark Scheifele nonetheless gets the game winner halfway through the third. A few shifts later, Adam Lowry with a greasy playoff-style goal, rebound in front. He gave the Jets a 2-0 lead. And then with the net empty, Nikolaj Ehlers gave the Jets their third goal of the night, and they cruised to victory off of the heels of that dominant third period on Friday night in Seattle. Between these two games against the Kraken, the Jets really dominated the analytics. They didn't get the result in one game inside Canada Life Center, but inside Climate Pledge Arena on Friday night, they absolutely got the result. It felt like only a matter of time before their offense started to score some goals, and they did just that, which makes Saturday's result all the more puzzling. The Jets going into Vancouver, Hockey Night in Canada, the two top teams in the West. You play Brossoit on the first night of the back-to-back, so you can save Hellebuyck for that bigger matchup, and the Jets lay an egg and lose 5-0 to the Vancouver Canucks. This game just kept going from bad to worse. The Canucks jumped out to a 3-0 first period lead. Winnipeg didn't have any jump. The line blender was in full effect in the second and third period, and it just was ugly throughout. The Canucks, one of the best teams in the league at counterattacking off the rush, and they scored multiple goals that way, most notably Vancouver's third goal. Mason Appleton had a glorious chance in the slot. Thatcher Demko makes a great save with his left pad, and the Canucks come back down 3-on-1 and beat Hellebuyck 5-hole. And at that point, the Jets had given up 20 shots or more in the first period, and they were down 3-0. It looked like a tall mountain to climb, and ultimately they didn't climb it. One of their worst games of the season, and Rick Bowness didn't hold back in the post-game press conference. Here's what he had to say about this team's loss.
So, you know, whatever my message was before the game was clearly wrong. So it starts with that, I guess, and then it's up. The bottom line is that's the worst game we have played in my 2 years here, by far. Because we didn't have one player play a good game, not one. So it starts there, and it ends there. It's as simple as that.
So none of this was on the Canucks?
Oh, yeah, they played a great game, but it's the same team we came in here 3 weeks ago and played. So that's on us. We didn't have one player play a good game. So it starts there.
And there it is, Rick Bowness on what he called the worst game the Jets have played in the 2 years that he's been here. And honestly, I can't blame him. But luckily for fans, luckily for management, luckily for the players, they made some big additions the day before on NHL trade deadline day. Let's get into the two big trades the Jets made on Friday. The Winnipeg Jets swooped in Friday morning and acquired Tyler Toffoli from the New Jersey Devils in exchange for a 2025 second round pick and a 2024 third round pick. Right off the bat, the first thing that everyone was shocked about is that the Jets didn't have to give up their current second round pick, which is Montreal's second round pick that's going to be a very early second round pick, almost like a late first rounder, most people are saying. But you get Tyler Toffoli at that price, and his salary is 50% retained coming over, which opened the door for the Jets to make another move with New Jersey later on in the day, acquiring right-handed defenseman Colin Miller for a 2026 fourth round pick, a good depth option that can maybe stabilize that third pairing alongside Dylan Sandberg. But ultimately, good depth, we talk about it all the time, that in the playoffs you need at least 7 or 8 quality defensemen. This gives the Jets another one. And as for Tyler Toffoli, we talked about it at length on our 6-hour live stream the day of the NHL trade deadline, but he is the perfect fit for Winnipeg inside that top six. He's a right-handed shot, he's going to score a lot of goals, and for a team that struggled to finish at times this year, he's the perfect guy to come in, add some rush offense, add a finishing touch, and give the Jets some more offense in games where they maybe haven't earned it as much as before. Those 26 goals are tied for the team lead with Kyle Connor. I would imagine that Toffoli is going to be slotted right into the top six. We're still unsure on Gabriel Vilardi's status going forward. He should resume skating this week coming up. But in the meantime, Toffoli might even be on the top line with Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor. Again, in Vancouver, the full line blender was out, so there wasn't much to read into in terms of that. But Tyler Toffoli is going to make an instant impact. And my take the day of the trade was that he's going to score a handful of huge goals for Winnipeg down the stretch. He's a clutch playoff goal scorer. Winnipeg fans will remember well, in the COVID year, Montreal swept the Jets, and game four was tied 2-2 going into overtime, and Tyler Toffoli scored for the Montreal Canadiens to advance them to the third round. And in his rookie year with the Los Angeles Kings, a decade ago in 2013-14, he won the Stanley Cup. He's a proven veteran with playoff experience. He's going to score a crap ton of goals and a crap ton of important goals for Winnipeg down the stretch. I'm running out of ways to describe how perfect this addition is, but the Jets get the number one player on the trade target board in Tyler Toffoli, and he actually met with the Winnipeg media that day after his trade. Here's what he had to say Friday afternoon after being traded to Winnipeg.
Obviously, the fans are extremely passionate. I was telling my wife earlier how I've never played him in the playoffs, but the whiteout and all that, and definitely going to show her some of the videos. It's pretty sweet. So I think we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, the team's playing really well right now. It feels like, you know, we have all the pieces. So we'll see what happens moving forward. And like I said, I'm just going to try and come in and, you know, fit in as easy as possible and do whatever I can to help everything out here.
So there it is, Tyler Toffoli sharing his excitement for the whiteout, for the playoffs that is coming up in a month. The Jets are in a great spot. They have a chance to finish as the one seed in the Central Division. That would be huge for their chances going forward. Kevin Cheveldayoff spoke to the idea of being all in and telling Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuck before the season, when they signed those extensions, that it's all about winning and they want to be all in. Here's what Kevin Cheveldayoff had to say after acquiring Monahan, Toffoli, and Miller leading up to the trade deadline.
I sat down, you know, with Helly and Scheif and, you know, just the different things that we did this summer, you know, and again, you know, we as an organization, you know, have been all in and we're going to continue to be all in. And, you know, it's all about winning. It has been since the very first day that, you know, Mark, you know, sat here, you know, when the franchise first relocated. And, you know, every decision we make, everything we do, it has a purpose in mind to ultimately try and win. And, you know, again, when you have different opportunities and different things, you know, that might become available and you feel that you're, it's going to make your team better, then, you know, you have to try and act. And we felt, obviously, getting, you know, Monty back when we did, that we needed to act decisively. And then, you know, these opportunities, you know, presented themselves. Obviously, the deadline does become a deadline. And, you know, that's when things do start to always heat up. You know, even today, you've got two players, you know, you have to do it on a day when you don't have to do anything to the rosters, you know, it expands. So that's why trade deadlines, you know, kind of culminate to the point here. But it's a long lead up, you know, to the frenzied finish.
So there it is. Kevin Cheveldayoff on the acquisition of Toffoli and Miller, being all in, and what he said to Scheifele and Hellebuyck before the season.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Now it is time for everyone's favorite part of the episode, the awards. I'm going to hand out the hardest working Jet of the week and the 3 stars of the week. But before we do that, drop a like on the video, hit the subscribe button, and hit the notification bell so you don't miss videos like this in the future. Let's get into the hardest working Jet of the week. My hardest working Jet of the week is Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. I had a chance to do this earlier on in the season. I missed that opportunity, but I'm not missing it again. If you're here on YouTube, take a look at the stats behind me. Two great value trades, one top six right winger acquired. He needed a depth defenseman. He got that as well. And how many prospects did he have to trade to get it done? Zero. Kevin Cheveldayoff was working the phones hard on Friday. And for that reason, he's my hardest working Jet of the week. In all seriousness, Kevin Cheveldayoff's track record over the past year has been stellar. And these most recent trades leading up to the trade deadline are no different. He legitimately has won my hardest working Jet of the week, the way that he has reshaped this roster and bolstered them up for the playoff run. He's been fantastic, and on Friday, it was no different, picking up two major needs on the Jets roster for just draft picks. Like I said, no prospects traded. So Kevin Cheveldayoff, I had to give him his props. Episode 20, hardest working Jet. My third star of the week is Lauren Brossoit. He had the 17-save shutout against the Seattle Kraken. And around him, Connor Hellebuyck on Tuesday had a few goals that he'd like to have back. And then Saturday night got lit up by the Vancouver Canucks. But that was hardly his fault. The Jets had nobody going that night. But on Friday night, only 17 shots against. So the Jets' defensive structure was definitely there in front of Brossoit. But when he needed to come up large, he was 11-4-2 on the season, 2.11 goals against average, and a .924 save percentage. He has been everything the Jets organization could have asked from him, and then some. He's probably priced himself out of Winnipeg at this point, talking about next year. He's probably going to get starter money somewhere because he's been incredible. Coming off that Vegas playoff run where he got hurt halfway through and Aiden Hill took over, he came over to Winnipeg, and he's been great. Friday night was no different, getting a 17-save shutout, and that earns him the third star of the week on Winnipeg Jets Weekly. My second star of the week is Adam Lowry. He had goals in back-to-back games against the Kraken. And if you remember, Dave Lowry, old Winnipeg Jets head coach, and Adam Lowry's father is an assistant coach on the Seattle Kraken. Adam Lowry carried a pretty big goal drought coming into that game and then scored back-to-back goals against his dad's team. I just find that pretty funny. But the third line was actually great in both of those games. And the goal on Friday's game that gave the Jets a 2-0 lead, I said it before, playoff style goal, being physical in front of the net, crashing a rebound and banging it home. Adam Lowry, always one of the hardest working Jets as the captain of the team, but this week he also chipped in on the score sheet. That's huge. He's my second star of the week on Winnipeg Jets Weekly. My first star of the week is Mark Scheifele. I talked about it earlier. He got that 700th point in the first Seattle game, and then on Friday against Seattle, once again, he got the game-winning goal halfway through the third period, gave the Jets a 1-0 lead, turned out to be the game winner. But he's been great all season long, 700 points in a Jets uniform, creeping up on 1,000. It might take a few more seasons to get there, but we should be happy that we're along for the ride because Mark Scheifele, first ever draft pick of the organization, he's having a fantastic year, and he's here for 7 more years after this one. Mark Scheifele, my first star of the week. Now it is time to get into the upcoming schedule for the Winnipeg Jets. But before we do that, let me know in the comments below, do you agree with my choices for the 3 stars of the week and Kevin Cheveldayoff as the hardest working Jet? I don't know if you could really pick anyone from that Saturday game, but definitely the 2 Kraken games. I could hear a few arguments for a player like a Dylan Sandberg for the hardest working Jet, but I don't know. Chevy was working the phones pretty hard, so I'm not sure about that one. Let's get into the upcoming schedule for the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets kick off a 3-game homestand tonight against the Washington Capitals. Tyler Toffoli and Colin Miller are both in Winnipeg. They should be making their debuts. We'll wait until after morning skate to get confirmation on that. But regardless, Alexander Ovechkin, he's chasing down Wayne Gretzky's goal record. It might take him till next season or the season after to eventually hit it, if he does at all. But still, should be fun. The Great 8, one of the greatest goal scorers of all time, inside Canada Life Center. And then Wednesday night, the Jets will take on a Central Division rival, the Nashville Predators. They're one of the hottest teams in the NHL as of late, so that'll be a great game. Friday night, Anaheim is coming to Winnipeg. They are struggling mightily. They have all season long. Honestly, they have for the past 5 years. But the Jets should win that one. Last game of the homestand. And then Sunday afternoon, I believe that's a 5 p.m. local start here in Winnipeg. They will travel to Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets, another team that has struggled all season long, and the Jets should have no issues beating. We'll see what this week brings, but there should be a lot of wins on the schedule. I'll be back next week for episode 21 of Winnipeg Jets Weekly to break down those 4 games and preview the March 19th game against the New York Rangers. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you to everyone who made it to the end of the video. If you haven't already, drop a thumbs up, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. I'll be back next Monday to break down those games, like I said. And thanks for hanging out with me on episode 20. It was pretty fun giving Kevin Cheveldayoff the hardest working Jet of the week. I don't know how often he'll get that going forward, but it was definitely fun to do it this time. Enjoy the games this week, everyone, and I'll be back next Monday for episode 21 of Winnipeg Jets Weekly. Have a great week, everyone.